Acts chapter 15, the last few verses of the chapter, we kind of, I trust, kind of whetted our appetite a little bit, piqued our curiosity. We've went through the council down in Jerusalem, and so our map makers, as they're showing the second missionary journey on this one, started all the way down in Jerusalem, rather than at Antioch, even though where we're picking it up in our passage, we're in Antioch. So I think they're doing that because of Paul and Barnabas coming back from Jerusalem with Silas to go to Antioch, and from there they go. So I think they're just trying to include the fact that we will have Silas and John Mark on this second missionary journey. It'll split off, as we'll see in a moment. But I think that's probably why they're doing that, is because of pulling back in John Mark and Silas into this missionary entourage. But as we come back to our passage in verse 36, we note after they had come back and read the letter that the church had come to agreements on concerning the Gentile believers and what they should be doing going forward, their relationship, if you will, with the law of the Old Testament. He says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." So we have Paul's desire brought up, as Luke records for us. Paul speaks to Barnabas and says, "Hey, let's go back to the churches that we saw established. Let's see how they're doing. Let's repeat that trip and to see how things are going." And good idea. Nice to see how the ministries are going in these various places. They're on the island of Cyprus, and they're in Galatia, Cilicia area, the Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Perga, Pamphylia, that area, to see, you know, how things are going. Because churches aren't static. We don't remain even keel, if you will, as we live for the Lord. And so Paul brings this up, and we notice in verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark." And as we recall, they did bring John Mark on the first missionary journey. They had gone down to Jerusalem prior to that, and they had brought John Mark with him up to Antioch. He goes with them on the first journey, just to kind of recap a little bit. And they went over to Cyprus. They started there. That's where Barnabas is from. And had ministry there. And when they left Cyprus, they went up to South Central Asia Minor and landed there. And when they landed, John Mark said, "I'm out of here." And he makes a beeline and he goes back home to Jerusalem. We don't know the whys. We still don't know the whys and wherefores. But he did leave. And it obviously, as we will see, it made an impact on both men. Made an impact on Barnabas, made an impact on Paul. So let's continue. He says, "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." And so as they are discussing this, and we don't know all of the ins and outs, but as Paul is listening to Barnabas about this, Paul says, "I don't think so. I don't think that's a good idea. He left us last time. We've got a serious job in front of us. We don't need people leaving us." And so Paul says, "Nope, nothing doing." Verse 39, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." And so we have this division, and as I touched on last time, we tend to like to take sides. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, who thinks Paul is right, who thinks Barnabas is right. It's, as I was talking with Tracy afterwards, They're both right, and ultimately they're both wrong. Notice what we see here as we look at this. As we examine this, they're both right. Does John Mark need mentoring? Yes, he does. But as we look at this account, and as one commentator that I was reading reminds us, as we see this account, these verses, and he notes, and I would agree with him, is certainly a testimony to the fact that we call this book God's Word. As humans, would we necessarily want to put an account of two men who had a sharp division that they separated themselves from each other? Now, typically, we want to remove those things out of the narrative. We want to keep the good things. But we have this here. And the Greek word that speaks of this contention that was so sharp is a strong term. They could not agree on this. And they would not, either one, give ground. But as we look at that and we see these details, and Luke presents it to me in a way, he's not drawing us to one side or the other. He's being rather ambivalent about it. He's just, here's what happened. He's not saying Paul was right. He's not saying Barnabas was right. He's showing us, this is what happened. This is what took place. And I appreciate that. It's always good to get the truth given to us truthfully so that we can see truly the truth and can follow it wisely rather than having the truth presented in a way that seeks to skew us to a certain point of view, shall we say. And so Luke doesn't do that. And he just brings this up, and so they do separate. And we see the blessing of it that there are now two missionary groups going out. Not one, but two. They can cover the territory twice as much. But as I note, we also don't see God's indication of his working here. There's no indication that they stopped and prayed about this. Now, I realize we're arguing from silence because Luke doesn't record that they prayed, but prayer is a theme in the book of Acts that Luke gives to us. He notes praying quite often. So it's not an unknown commodity, but it's not noted here. As we think of divisions that we may have, some points of contention, what typically should we be doing? Taking time to stop and let's pray. We need to know the mind of the Lord in this matter so that we can go forward with his blessing and his understanding. And we don't see that happen here. So as I say, you know, both are right. John Mark is a questionable character to take on the missionary journey. So I would agree with Paul. But I would also agree with Mark that, yes, he does need to be mentored. And we find that this division, though it's sharp, it does not interfere ultimately with the fellowship that these two men, and I look at Barnabas and Paul particularly. When you go and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, you find Paul speaking about Barnabas in a favorable light. And 1 Corinthians is written after this account because they haven't even been to Corinth yet. So he's got to be to Corinth and minister there before he can write 1 Corinthians. So this is later down the road. There is not a troubledness that they're not talking to each other, not speaking to each other. They're not referring to each other. But Paul notes that when you read Colossians and 2 Timothy, you find that Paul will later on to the church of Colossae and even further to Timothy, he has favorable words to say about John Mark. Why? Because Barnabas worked with John Mark and was able to bring him along so that he was a man suited for the ministry. And Paul will say he's profitable. And again, we know John Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark. So we can praise the Lord for what Barnabas did in helping John Mark. We can praise the Lord with Paul as well that, yes, we need men that are suited and ready to go. Because it can be a hardship on the others if we have somebody dropping off and right in the midst of a needful time and somebody says, I'm out of here, sorry, I'm not doing this work anymore. It usually never happens at an opportune time where, okay, fine, we've got somebody else to fill in. So we can see that, and I think understand that they were both correct in their feelings, but they should have worked through this between the two of them so that God ultimately could be honored and glorified completely from the beginning, from the get-go. It may be that they would still separate and go off in two teams, one to Cyprus and then one, the overland route that we see here on our map. They leave Antioch, go around the corner into Cilicia before they get on up into the Galatia area. But it would have been far better to have left on good terms rather than tense terms as they seek to go what? Serve the Lord. And so I trust we can learn from the example, and to one extent a bad example, and learn from it that when we do have contentions, and we will, we're human. We're not all made alike. We don't all, agree on the same things about everything. And so we need to come to terms with that. And part of that really is taking it to the Lord in prayer. I mean, it's kind of hard to pray with somebody that you're upset with if you're praying with somebody that you're upset with. But I think that would have been a good cue to Paul and Barnabas by somebody else to tell them, okay, you two guys need to go into a corner and start praying with each other about this and work this out between the two of you. Again, it may be that you go on separate routes, but let's go with God's blessings on both, God's enabling with both, and not be left with, this contention. But again, we see some sharp words, and yet it wasn't that they were not going to be talking to each other from then on. Because Paul, again, since we have Paul as a man that we're going to see through the rest of the New Testament, he was a man that did not hold things against Barnabas because he would speak favorably of him later, of a man being used of God. And so while they divided themselves and it was sharp, at least God worked at some point, whether then or later, to keep them together, so to speak, and on the same page within their relationship with God and their relationship with each other. And so, excuse me, we need to be reminded of that. And I use, again, from a commentator, one of my teachers in college, he notes this as he touches on this topic in seeking God's direction and guidance. And I'll give us these 10 things for us to realize and think of when we come across these. Noting statements basically from God to us. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek he will guide in judgment. God will guide us. Psalm 32, 8 tells us that he will guide us with his eye. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Psalm 119, verse 18, a prayer of the psalmist when he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God can show us. God can work through that contention if we give him the chance. Isaiah 30, verse 21, thine ear shall hear. This is the way, walk ye in it. I'm kind of cutting that one down a little bit. But are we hearing what God is saying so that we can walk in the way that God would have us to walk? John 16, verse 3, he, that is the Spirit, will guide you into all truth. God will guide us. And I think both Paul and Barnabas would understand, yes, God will guide us. Were they seeking God's guidance in this area? Again, we don't seem to see that indication that they were. Romans 8, verse 14 reminds us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're led by the what? We're led by the Spirit of God. Verse 18 of Galatians chapter 5, along that same line, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And lastly, as Paul is writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Getting into this book and knowing God's Word so that He can guide us, He can direct us, He can help us through these times. And so I appreciate those from Dr. Custer in noting that, yes, we can get God's guidance. Even when we have these sharp contentions, we need not let our emotions get so high and filled up that we don't seek God in the matter. That's when we do need to seek God in the matter. To step back and let the temperature cool down a little bit and say, you know what, let's be praying about this. We're both right, we're both wrong. Let's seek God. What does He want us to do? And avoid, you know, some ruffled feathers, some bad blood, if you will, between two people that it shouldn't be. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be united in Christ in that regard. So as we look at this passage, and whether you thought one way or the other, I trust you understand the truth of both sides, the troubles on both sides. And again, we see God taking even the poor things that we do and using it for His glory. Because again, what happens? We have two teams go out. We've doubled our efforts. And that we can praise God about, because now, again, Paul and Silas are going to go around and they're going to go back through Asia Minor. You know, do we know what happened to Barnabas after this? No. And because ultimately we can't know. Otherwise we'd have this huge multi-volume set of all the activities of all these characters in the Scriptures. And instead of being able to carry our Bible and put it in our lap, we'd have this multi-volume set to look at and to discover, you know, what was the life of Barnabas like? Well, let's pull that volume out and see as Luke or some other writer records it for us. So I know sometimes people will bring those kinds of things up and trying to argue for one thing over another when, if you look at it, well, we can't do that. Some have used it to look back at when they chose the 12th apostle back at the beginning of the book. They drew straws, basically. They took lots because Judas hanged himself. They needed to find a 12th man to replace him. Some will say that was wrong, that Paul is that 12th apostle and they should have waited. And part of that argument is, what happened to Matthias? Well, what happened to Bartholomew? What happened to James the Less? Simon Zelotes? You know, we've got all sorts of names that we could use that same argument for and say, well, what happened to them? Because we don't have records of them. So it's an argument that doesn't really work because our scriptures can only follow so much. I mean, Luke can only put in so much narrative and follow only so many people. So we need to be careful with that and realize that, you know, that's not an argument to use in justification of trying to bring up something else and say, well, this should have been because, you know, not, we don't know what happened to Matthias. I mean, he doesn't do anything. But Paul, you know, Paul, goodness, look at what he did. Well, no, he didn't. God did. And may we always remember that. So just wanted to bring us to that. We'll get into chapter 16 next week, Lord willing, and continue on as we get into the second missionary journey to see what God has for them as they retrace their steps and take the letter. Recall from the last time, you know, the church in Jerusalem gave them a letter to take to the Gentile churches. Following the law is not part of salvation. But we do want you to abstain from these things that were in place long before the law came along, to live rightly in this ungodly world. So they're going to take that with them to take back to these churches and to be read there to help them understand. It's already been done to the churches between Jerusalem and Antioch as they made their way back up. And Paul and Silas will continue on with that letter as they go on now into what we know as southern Galatia as they retrace their steps. And so that will conclude that. So if